The following sermon is brought to you by Springville South Church of Christ. For more information, please visit www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.
Christianity is not a philosophy. You can practice any major religion in this world without its central figure and it'll go on. But one thing you know, you cannot have Christianity without Christ. You cannot have Christianity without Christ. Because Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with a living and a loving and a merciful God. Christianity is not a cult. Christianity is not a creed. Christianity is not a cause. Christianity is not even a church. Christianity is Christ Himself.
Lord, we just commit ourselves to You this morning. We come under the authority of Your precious words. I pray, Lord, for anything that would hinder us today from receiving from Your word. We pray against that in the name of Jesus. We pray for obedient hearts and listening ears this morning. Holy Spirit, we welcome You. We pray that You would teach us from Your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless You. My text this morning is from Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 11. And the text says this: the mouth of a good person is deep and life and a life-giving well, but the mouth of the wicked is dark and a cave of abuse. Another translation says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Several things are clear and lie right on the surface of this text this morning. Just go through some of them. First, it talks about that God is a lover of life. He likes to promote life and not violence and not death. The scripture says that the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Secondly, it observes that life comes from that mouth that God has given us. And it's not the only source of life, but the text is clear that the mouth is one source and can be life-giving as we conduct ourselves in our day-to-day lives. The mouth of the righteous, it says, is a fountain of life. The third thing we notice is that a life-giving mouth is a fountain. The Bible says that. The image is not of labor and sweat and weariness, but one of being restful and clean and cool and refreshing. On Friday, I had one of quite a stressful day. I had a 16-hour day. At home, I work at home. You know, the system collapsed, so I had to go to the city, and nothing was working in the city. And everything I tried to do on my shift went belly up. So I decided to walk down at 6:30. I was in the city, walked down Flinders Lane. And my office is based in 333 Collins Street. I don't know if you've been in that building. It's one of the most beautiful buildings. It's got this beautiful dome. People actually go in to take pictures. It's painted up there. So I was walking past. I didn't realize that at the end of the building they had a fountain and like a waterfall. And in all that bother, you know, the thing not working and the telephone company blaming my company says it's the telephone company, and in between the two of them I was stuck in a jam and feeling quite frustrated that morning. So I said I better go for a walk and buy a coffee. As I was walking past, I noticed this fountain, and the moment I walked past this fountain, there was such a peace that came upon me. And that's what it says. It says our mouth can be like a fountain. The words that come out from our mouth can bring that soothing effect on people. And God cares about our mouth. God cares about what goes in, but He cares a lot more of what comes out of our mouth. It says in Matthew 15 and 11, it says, it is not what goes into the mouth of a man that makes him unclean and defiled, but what comes out of the mouth, this makes the man unclean and it defiles him. What God wants us to do today, I believe, through this message, is to help us become that kind of person whose mouth will freely bring forth blessing to others as we meet them and move along in our day-to-day life. God wants to make our mouths a fountain of life. Then we have to note in that text, it says here, it talks about righteousness. What is righteousness? But before we look at what is righteousness, we have to ask ourselves two questions. Two questions. What is the righteousness that makes mouths into a fountain of life? How do we become the kind of person whose mouth freely brings forth life? Seeing that we are looking at the book of Proverbs, I thought I'd seek some scriptures out from the book of Proverbs to confirm or validate this theme about our mouths being the fountain of life. So Proverbs 13:14 says this, "The teachings of the wise is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death." So if the teachings of the wise is the fountain of life, and the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, then one element in this righteousness is true wisdom. So I draw a conclusion that righteousness or a righteous person lives by true wisdom. Then we note that the most crucial thing in Proverbs when it talks about wisdom is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We see that in Proverbs 9 and verse 10. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." So we can conclude that the fear of the Lord is right at the heart of the wisdom, which is the basis of why people or how people can live a righteous life. Proverbs 14:27 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Then we have passages like Psalms 36 verses 7 and 9. It says, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures." And then verse 9 it says, "For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light we shall see light." So the fear of the Lord, we conclude, literally means two things, or at least means two things. It means that we stand in awe of the majesty and the power and the justice and the holiness and the mercy and the grace of God. We stand in awe. We tremble at his word. Isaiah 66 verses 1 and 2 says this, "God's message, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. What sort of house could you build for me? What holiday spot reserved for me? I made all of this. I own all of this. God's decree. But there is something I'm looking for. A person simple and plain, reverently responsive to what I say." It's beautifully put by the Message Bible. God is looking for a person who will live simply and live a plain life, and most importantly, will be reverently responsive to what he says. It means that we shudder with dread at the thought of leaving our God, and how terrible it would be to forsake this great, loving, and merciful God who loves us so much and has lavished his love over us. If we leave that kind of backing, we do it at our own peril. We get out of the safety net, the safety of God who loves us. Those who fear the Lord stay with the Lord through thick and thin, through tough times and extremely tough situations, knowing and trusting that God is in control, and I'm just going to hang in there. Even though I don't understand the things that are happening around my life, I'm just going to hang in there, because he's a loving God. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, and to give you an expected end." Amen. That's a fantastic scripture to dwell on. That's his promise to us. His plea to us today is the same like the verse in Isaiah Chapter 30, verses 15 and 17. I'll just read this. God the Master, the Holy One of Israel, has solemn counsel, your salvation requires you to turn back to me and stop your silly efforts to save yourselves. This is important. Your strength will come from settling down in complete dependence on me, the very thing you've been unwilling to do. Your strength will come from settling down in complete dependence on me, the very thing you've been unwilling to do. That is God's plea to us this morning. So those who fear the Lord stay with the Lord. They love the fellowship of God more than anything else. And because they do not forsake Him for broken cisterns in the world, their roots are in the eternal fountain of life, and that is God Himself. God Himself, that is what Psalms 39 and verse 9 says, you, God, give them to drink from the river of your delight, for with you is the fountain of life. So why do we, from time to time, try to look for this outside of God? We do it, and we find a lot of frustration, a lot of disappointment, and delusion. This is the key, folks. God Himself. That is what the scripture says. You, God, give them to drink from the river of your delights, for with you is the fountain of life. God is the fountain of life, and the righteous will live in it, or on it. Now the word righteous or righteousness, what does it mean? We say a godly man is a righteous man. What does it mean? We're told in Timothy 6 and verse 11 that the scriptures are profitable for instruction in righteousness. What does it mean? Very briefly, the scripture talks about three stages of being righteous. Three stages. First one, it says, we are declared righteous. We are justified. The word justified is the same as being declared righteous. The Christian we're talking about, who have been born again, who've accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The Christian, therefore, is one who by faith in Jesus Christ is declared righteous. He is acquitted of his sin, not because he is good by doing good things, but he has he's been declared righteous by God Himself through the cross. Amen? You and I can do nothing to attain to this or do anything to appease God. It is just the gift of God, because all of us, according to Romans 3 and verse 10, says that we've all missed the mark. We've all faltered. We have all failed. He proclaimed us innocent because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And the penalties of our sin was paid in full on the cross. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that's what happens. He declares us righteous. We were praying in the prayer room this morning, and we acknowledged that this morning in prayer. We said, God, thank you, Jesus, because of what you did on the cross, I can stand before God. Direct access to God was made possible because of the cross. I don't have to go through a priest. Jesus is our high priest. But we had access direct to God in our prayer, and it was so wonderful when we acknowledged that. The second thing the Bible talks about, the second stage of righteousness the Bible talks about, is the sanctified life, living righteously. When we are saved by Jesus Christ, our whole purpose in life changes. We love God and His ways. We want to do what He says. Now, this does not mean that we cannot do wrong or we won't do wrong. We will do wrong. We will fall. We will have lapses. All those things will happen. But once we ask for forgiveness, the relationship is mended and we are on our way again, having access directly with God through the cross. We certainly will not live a perfect life, because that's for the time ahead. But you know what happens? Living righteously or living a sanctified life, we have a choice of how we want to live. We have a better choice of committing our members the members of our body to righteous living. Romans 6, 12 and 13 says this. That means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with the old way of life. It says don't even entertain the thought that is connected with your old way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under the old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. Beautiful scripture text, Romans 6, 12 and 13. Then the third stage of righteousness is the perfect righteousness that the Bible talks about, which is also referred to as being a stage of being glorified. One day when Jesus Christ returns, we will receive a new body to match our new nature. Sin will be impossible. From then on, upon death, our old body is permanently put aside, never to return, and we will be perfectly righteous. That's what we expect. That's what's going to happen. So coming back to our topic, righteousness means being rooted in God. Not standing outside trying to earn our way inside by the list of behaviors or good works. Because no matter how much good works you do, you could be the best performing good work worker and that wouldn't earn anything. Wouldn't give you. The Bible says our good works is like a filthy rag. Imagine you cleaning your car engine with a lovely white piece of cloth. And you're cleaning your car engine and then you look at your cloth and it's filthy, it's black, it's greasy. That's what the Bible says is our righteousness outside of Christ. Our righteousness is like a filthy rag. So righteousness means being rooted in God, not standing outside trying to earn your way in with a list of good behavior works. Biblical righteousness is not primarily a set of things that you and I do, but rather it's whom we trust this morning. Amen? Whom we trust and whom we live with and whom we fear to forsake and whom we learn from to be wise. You know, there's a very scary scripture in Hebrews 10, verse 26. It's talking about apostasy, means turning away. Let me just read that out to you. It's talking about people who have experienced Jesus Christ and now are turning away and moving away from God, getting willfully leaving God. It says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. If we, through apostasy, leave and move out of this safety net of God, it's a scary thing. There no longer remains a sacrifice for our sins. So we say we trust in whom we live with and whom we fear to forsake and whom we learn from to be wise. Or to use the New Testament terminology, righteousness is abiding in the wine. Not working for the wine, but trusting the wine to work through you. Now I want to emphasize this is wine, V-I-N-E, and not W-I-N-E. So I don't want you to go home and bring out your wine bottle and think Glenn endorsed that. It's talking about V-I-N-E, and that refers to the whole chapter of John chapter 15. It's about focusing on John chapter 15, what it means to be abiding in Christ, being the key focus of that passage in Scripture. So righteousness is being in Christ and living by faith in the power and the grace and the wisdom that He gives us. It is when we are in this kind of relationship with God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that makes our mouths a fountain of life. It makes our mouth the fountain of life because we are living on the abundance of God. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Jesus said in Matthew 12 and 34. And the way And the way God means to change the mouth is by becoming that abundance in our lives. He means to be a fountain of life for us and in us, so that out of the abundance of our mouth, a fountain of life can spring forth. This is the answer to our second question. How do we become the kind of person whose mouth freely brings forth life? It means living in the abundance, or on the abundance of God, moment by moment, drinking from the fountain of living water, which is nothing less than God Himself. Manifest in Jesus Christ and welling up in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. John 4:14 says this. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never be thirsty anymore. But the water I will give him shall become a spring of water welling up, flowing and bubbling continually within him into and for eternal life. That's the Amplified Bible. So the heart of my sermon this morning is the call to trust God as your abundance and as your treasure. To live in God. To feed on God. To drink from God. To fellowship with God. Learn all your wisdom from God. And most importantly, fear to forsake God. Don't ever entertain that thought to walk away from God, because you do it with great peril to your own life. Ezra 8:22 says this, "For I was ashamed to request of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to protect us against the enemy along the way, because we had told the king, 'The hand of our God is upon all them for good who seek him, but his power and wrath are against all those who forsake him.'" When you forsake God and you walk outside of God, there is no protection. You become free game for the enemy. The enemy can upset your life as he wishes, because you have forsaken a loving and merciful God. God invites us this morning very earnestly and sincerely, saying, "Let him who is thirsty come. Let him who desires to take the water of life without a price come." Revelation 22 and verse 16 says this, "The Holy Spirit and the bride, the church, the true Christian say, 'Come.' And let him who is listening say, 'Come.' And let everyone come who is thirsty, who is painfully conscious of his need, of those things by which the soul is refreshed, supported, and strengthened. And whoever earnestly desires to do it, let him come, take appropriate, and drink the water of life without cost." How does this life produce life for others? Let me give you quickly three pointers that we can apply in our lives that will help us to help our lives to be like a fountain to others. For life to be sustained, whether spiritually or physically, and I think both are in view here, it needs to be fed when it's hungry, and healed when it's sick, and delivered when it's under attack. So if the mouth is going to be a fountain of life, what comes out of it needs to be fed and healed and delivered. I choose these three things because I found them in the book of Proverbs as well. It says this in Proverbs 10:21, "The lips of the righteous feed and guide many, but fools die for want of understanding and heart." So the first point here is the lips of the righteous feed many. That's you and me. We've got the words of eternal life. We've got what the person outside of Christ doesn't have. Therefore, what we can offer them is immensely, immensely important. Proverbs 12:18 says this, "There are those who speak rashly, like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." The tongue of the wise brings healing. Many times you'll notice in your own Christian life that you've been put in situations and your tongue has brought healing to a situation. And I'm sure it will do in the future as well. Then Proverbs 12:6 says this, "The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them and the innocent ones." So the mouth of the upright delivers them. So the mouth is the fountain of life for others because it brings forth words that feed and heal and deliver. You and I, folks, whether we believe it or not, are and able to influence people for the better because of what we have inside. It's not because we are good people, but because of Christ living in us. Amen? So as I bring my message to a close with these three probing questions, do our mouths usually feed people with truth and substance in what we say? Do people stand up and listen when you say something? And I don't mean forcefully, but because they respect you, because they see a character in you that cannot be unnoticed. Do our mouths usually heal people with words of grace and love and kindness? You know, are we there always like a balm, bringing healing with our words, always in showing grace and love and kindness? Do our mouths usually deliver and protect people? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our text today in Proverbs 10:11 says, the mouth of a good person is deep, life-giving, a life-giving well, but the mouth of the wicked is a dark cave of abuse. Another translation says, the mouth of the righteous man is a well of life, but the violent cover the mouths of the wicked. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your precious words. We thank you, Lord, that you have made us, you have declared us righteous. You've called us to live a life of a sanctified life. And we know one day we'll be glorified when Jesus comes, Lord. We thank you. We pray, Lord, between now and the time you return, that we would be people who would stand and shine for you, Jesus. That out of the abundance of our mouth, Lord, your words of healing, your words of blessing, your words of encouragement, your words of building up will flow to our near and dear ones and to the people outside of Christ, Lord. I pray a special blessing on each one here today. And I pray a special blessing on those who couldn't make it today for whatever reason. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope you've been encouraged from today's sermon. If you would like further information about Springville South Church, please visit our website at www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.